Blog Talk Radio.
I missed you, darling. Did you miss me? Probably
yes.
Not. Okay. Okay. Hello, everybody. We're back. I know. It's like a bad penny, we keep turning up. My name is Jeffrey Swartz. I'm a professor of law at WMU Cooley Law School's Tampa Bay campus. And I'm here together with my brother-in-arms, Brendan Berry, and, you know, he does not have a gun. Don't worry about it. And he is also a professor of law at WMU Cooley Law School, Tampa Bay campus. And I'm supposed to say and will say that everything that Brendan and I have to say this morning on this wonderful program called The Constitution Today and everything else that we want to talk about is our opinions and solely our opinions, except for the ones that we agree upon. And they are not necessarily the opinions of the administration and or the faculty of WMU Cooley Law School, soon to no longer be WMU, but some other name. WMU Cooley Law School is its faculty either at large or individually. And the first thing I'm going to say is good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Jeffrey. This would be interesting. I think this is the first time that we've done this, that we haven't been able to talk before. So we're just winging it today. This will be kind of fun.
Yeah, I had to have my twofers looked at. And you know, one of them's got to come out. And, you know, when you get old, those kind of things happen. But before we get started, okay, there's another person on that actually owns this time, by the way, and allows us to use it. He is a friend. He's more than a friend. He's a patron. And so here's Hezzy.
Good morning.
Hezzy, how are you?
Pleasure to have you both on.
It's a pleasure to be had. So we'll kind of leave it at that. We usually start out these little episodes of ours talking about each of us taking a few minutes to talk about something, that what do we really think about it? And it's so hard to pick something today because it will not amaze you to know that probably one of the major things we're talking about today is everything that's going on involving Jack Smith and Donald Trump and all those kind of things that are just breaking almost momentarily. You almost don't want to turn off the news because something else is going to happen. It's like watching a football game. You can't turn, you know, like watching a hockey game. Don't take your eyes off the puck because the puck will come over the glass and hit you in the head. And so you got to keep your eyes looking forward. And I'm going to address something here that relates to that, and it may be more of a result of that I'm looking at. I am looking at somebody who I agree very little with in the context that he's one of the roughest, toughest governors ever to set foot in the state house in New Jersey. And don't get him mad at you because he's going to shut down your bridge. But and then blame it on everybody but himself. But it's amazing he never took a fall on that. That's just, you know. But I've been listening to him now for a few years. He's been working with ABC News, and he's been a standard on the Sunday morning roundtable as a Republican in the room. And he is a traditional Republican. I'm going to give him credit for that. I'm not necessarily in tune with a lot of what he has to say, but he is a pretty mainstream, as we used to call it, Republican. And I'm talking about Chris Christie. He is apparently today going to declare for the presidency, knowing full well he is not going to be the nominee. He is not running to win. He's running to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't win. He's doing what that very arrogant, nasty guy, Sununu, from New Hampshire, is afraid to do. Because he's going to sit back and let everybody get wounded And then in 2028, he's going to run for the presidency. So he's going to let everybody wound themselves. I really don't – I'm not really fond of Sununu at all. Didn't like his dad very much either. And so Chris Christie is doing, as much as you hate to say it, a public service. He's the guy that can take on Donald Trump face-to-face and emulsify him. He played Joe Biden in preparing Donald Trump for the 2020 debates. And he's a rough, tough guy. He is articulate, and he knows how to take on people. He was a good prosecutor. Unlike Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie was a good prosecutor. And I just want to say that what I really feel today and what I really think is that no matter what happens legally for Donald Trump, the end is near. I truly believe this. I really have been waiting for this day. I believe the end is near. The end is nigh. And because he will not go quietly into that dark night, he's going to have to go yelling and screaming and throwing fits and say, like a little boy who's going to get punished, he is going to get punished, into that very, very, very dark night for him, and I would say pretty much all of his family. The end is not. And Chris Christie is the guy that's going to keep him out of the debate. He's the guy that's going to say all the nasty things that everybody should be saying about Donald Trump every time he has a chance to talk. And he's the guy that hopefully is going to take the spell out of those who have found their way to supporting Donald Trump just to survive. And so today, what I really think is, I salute you, Chris Christie, and I wish you Godspeed on your quest. And that's what I really think.
And just so everybody knows, God bless you, Chris Christie, is something you'll never hear from Jeff Swartz again. So just savor it today, people.
circle it. It's going to be an annual holiday. Okay.
Right.
Okay, this is where we're going to celebrate this every single year. Jeff Swartz and Chris Christie, God bless you. Okay?
Yeah, right. Right. Just this once, right? Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, I agree with you. Jack Smith, the Jack Smith thing has to be a central topic here. But I did want to start with another issue. And it involves your favorite governor. Ron, you and I had a phone conversation recently where I said, you know, I never realized when you were pronouncing Ron DeSantis that this would become an actual political issue.
Right. I was right.
Yeah. Or were you, right? Now there's a big to-do, right? Because sometimes he pronounces it Ron DeSantis, and other times he pronounces it Ron DeSantis. He won't answer questions from the media about which it is. But he's got reporters now running around saying, all we really want to know is what your name is. We're not trying to cause a big issue here. Just what do you want to be called? Right?
And what was his response to the guy? Are you blind? It's about hearing. It's about hearing, not seeing.
Yeah,
moron.
Right.
But go ahead.
Right. So yeah, we can have a laugh, you know, a yuck about that. But on a more serious note, and I think his involvement in this can't be denied. Something just this morning happened in the news that I'm sure will cause right wing Republican derision and mockery, and criticism and hysteria. The Human Rights Campaign, which is the leading LGBTQ advocacy group in the country, has a 40-year history. right, that they've been very active. This morning, for the first time in 40 years, the Human Rights Campaign issued a statement saying that we are in a national state of emergency for LGBTQ individuals. The number of threats that are being made, especially against transgender people, but against all LGBTQ people, is skyrocketing. Those are obviously threats of violence. The bullying that is going on now in schools, and let's not pin it all on the kids. It turns out, I was not aware of this, across the United States, in the first quarter of this year, the first quarter of 2023, Republican state legislatures have introduced 417 anti-LGBTQ bills just in the first quarter. That is twice the number of such bills introduced all of 2022. So the hostility has been ratcheted up to a level that is absolutely unbelievable at this time. And as the HRC has said, it now constitutes an emergency. LGBTQ people are uprooting their families and moving to other states, trying to get out of states, red states. Laws are being passed, anti-drag bans, don't say gay laws, books being removed. Of course, in Florida is leading the way on this. Books being removed if they have any reference at all to somebody's sexual orientation. The Supreme Court is poised to decide a case that's going to come down soon. In which I can already tell you what they're going to say. They're going to say that a business owner is allowed to refuse to serve an LGBTQ person based on religious objections. So we're going to have a religion-based now, a rash of private businesses refusing to serve LGBTQ persons. This is something I've been talking about a lot, especially because of the very dangerous tack that Republicans have taken in characterizing their bigotry against LGBTQ Americans. They've gone from characterizing gay people or transgender people as merely strange or funny, or people who should be made fun of, people who should be outcasts, right? That's something that LGBTQ people have been used to for a long time. But Republicans now have turned to accusing LGBTQ Americans of grooming, of grooming children. There was a what became a very well-known incident down here in Florida recently, I think it was last week, where a bunch of teachers confronted a school board and said that they were going to quit. They've had enough. And parents and students seem to have had enough as well. Of the teachers, these people who are, they're not well paid, they're overworked, and they're spending all their time defending themselves against right-wing hysteria and lunacy about them trying to turn kids gay. And what is already a famous exchange, a teacher said to the school board, it was a county, I think it's just a little north of here, a very red county. She said to the school board, I teach math. I'm trying to teach your kids math. I don't have time to try to teach anybody to be gay. Nope, that's not happening. Nobody is doing that. This is invented. Now, why is it so dangerous? Because if you, and again, I'm sorry to repeat this, this is my little spiel almost every week. It's one thing to convince people that some other group is strange. It's one thing to convince people that some other group, is somehow inferior. It's quite another to try to convince your base that some other the group, right, some outgroup is not only one of those things, but is also dangerous. It comes in the form of a viral infection that threatens you and threatens your children. This is the rhetoric of the Republican Party today. And again, they've doubled up the number of anti-gay legislation proposals in just a few months that were introduced all of last year. This sends an unmistakable message to LGBTQ people. You are not welcome. We don't consider you part of our community. We don't consider you contributors to our society. We think you're strange. We think you're lesser than, and we think you're dangerous. And so the HRC is right. This is a state of emergency for LGBTQ people. It's time to declare it now before it gets worse. And again, I know that right-wingers are going to point and laugh, right? They're going to deride. They're going to insult. They're going to do all those nasty things that Republicans do these days to appeal to their base. But it's not funny, Republicans. And that's what I really think.
Well, and part of that, especially in the state of Florida, and in the state of Tennessee, have been these anti-drag show bills. I want to point out that in both of these states, the governors of these states say that they're trying to return the power of how your children are raised to them, to the parents. Yet they are telling the parents to a great degree and just outright, telling parents how they should raise their children, what their children can read, what their children can learn, what their children can know about, and what their children can experience, let alone let their children be who they are. And it's interesting to note that, for example, down in Miami last weekend as part of Gay Pride Month and Gay Pride Weekend down there, there was a very open drag show that was done in a public park in which there were noted numerous children under the age of 10 with their parents watching the performances. People have this picture that a drag show is one where there is sexually explicit conduct being conducted by the performers. Nothing could be farther from the truth. No one's saying that there are not adult shows which would be inappropriate for children to see, whether they were drag shows or whether they are strip shows or whatever they might be. That may not be appropriate. But there was, and people forget, there was a hit Broadway show that was literally about drag performers finding their way across the desert of Australia to perform someplace. And the show was hysterical. The music was wonderful. The performers were great. I actually enjoyed the show immensely. And so drag performers are just that. They are performers. Whether we celebrate somebody as important as a RuPaul or whether we celebrate someone who just does a local show someplace in a local club, they are performers nonetheless. And there's nothing harmful about what they do. There's actually nothing harmful about the drag queens, as they're called, who were reading books to kindergarten and first grade children. To those children, these were just women who were reading books to them. That's the way they looked at it. They didn't, you know, the parents knew it was a drag thing, but it didn't matter. This fear that people put out is disturbing. It's going backwards from all the progressions we've made during my lifetime. Now, at least one sane mind in the state of Tennessee, a federal district judge who was appointed by Donald Trump, has found the drag show statute unconstitutional. And the parties there were the sheriff of Shelby County. And by the way, the sheriff was in favor of the ruling. The prosecutor all said the same thing. We are not going to enforce this law. And an injunction was issued. It's only applicable to Shelby County, and all the other sheriffs and all the other cities are up in arms, and they're going to enforce it because they weren't included in the judgment or in the injunction. But it's a sane mind that says these laws are overbroad. They are vague. They are intended to discriminate. These are people that have the right of expression under the First Amendment. And you can't take that away from them. So at least something positive is happening at this point. These laws are being found to be unconstitutional. And I understand. It's almost like they're trying to create ghettos of areas where gay people are welcome and will not be discriminated against. If you want to go to South Beach, DeSantis, or DeSantis, whatever you want to call him, may in fact try to enforce, but he's going to get no help from the authorities in Miami-Dade County, any of them. And so Miami-Dade County will become a safe haven. San Francisco will be a safe haven. Areas on the West Coast will be a safe haven. The idea was to drive gays out of the state of Florida. Why? Because they vote Democratic for the most part, okay? This is the other. This is what fascists do.
Mm-hmm.
And they find others and they say, I can't explain, your life is terrible. That's the reason why your life is terrible. You can blame everything on them. Your life is horrible because of that. You're paying too many taxes, blame it on them. You can't find a job, blame it on them. Not my party's fault. It's not my politician's fault. It's those people over there. You get rid of them, life will be better. No.
Yeah, where have we heard that before, right?
Every place there's ever been a fascist. Any place there has ever been a fascist.
Yep.
It's always somebody else's fault. These are the people that have made your life miserable. We need to be rid of those people. Hopefully, I doubt seriously that Ron DeSantis will ever become president of the United States. If he does, I'm shipping my money offshore and I'm gone.
Yeah.
Because he wants to do to the country what he has done to Florida. And the rest of you who applaud what he has done in Florida, who don't live here, come on down. Bring your children. Okay, find out that you can't raise your children the way you want, and they can't learn what you want them to learn, and they can't read what you want them to read. They can't learn to tolerate other people. We teach intolerance in the state of Florida. That's what we teach. We teach white supremacy, white Christian supremacy. This is the world's largest Christian madras. Come on down. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you can suffer through the summers. That's okay with me. I don't want to suffer through them anymore. Hell, that's old. That's really old for me. So
it is.
yeah. So I got one of the things I wanted to talk about in, which was that Tennessee judge who was the exact opposite of the Texas judge. We need to talk about Donald. We need to talk about what's going on. I wish I had been a fly on the wall. I really didn't think that Smith was actually going to meet with them. The initial reports were that these were assistants to him and assistants within the DOJ because Donald's lawyers wanted to have a meeting. So they gave him a meeting. They sent people who can't make any decisions. But apparently Jack poked his head in and decided to stay. Now, Jack doesn't work at the DOJ. His offices are on the other side of Washington because he's not supposed to have anything to do with DOJ itself. They wanted him completely severed. And apparently he showed up. Now, for those of you who don't know what these meetings are, having practiced in federal court as extensively as I had, I had meetings like this, representing people who know they're under investigation, know that the grand jury is hearing evidence about them, and so it's not a big secret. And you say, hey, you know, prosecutor, can I come in and have a talk with you? It's one of the last things a prosecutor will do before he indicts. And you walk in the door, and you sit on one side of the table, and the prosecutors sit on the other side of the table. And there's pleasantries, you know. Did you get a Danish? Yes. You know, I like the cinnamon coffee. Sure, that's really good. And, you know, how you doing? Fine. You know, small talk. And then finally, whoever the lead prosecutor is says, you know, you asked for this meeting. I assume you have something you want to say. And he says, yeah. We know you're investigating our guy. We know that these are the things you're investigating him for. So we'd like to address those and see if we can give you some help in the context of whether you should indict or not. And you get to talk. And you try to sell your defense, or you try to add things on, or you try to attack the prosecution's evidence, go after a specific, you know, element of the offense to say you just don't have it to prove it. Maybe we can work out a plea to some lesser included, you know, something, maybe a misdemeanor and some fine, you know, some, you know, probationary time. And they let you put on your dog and pony show. Now, I have absolutely no respect for any one of those lawyers that were there except for Trustee. He is a good lawyer. Now, he's been making a fool of himself for the last 3 weeks with the things he's been saying on TV, but he's trying to represent his client. The rest of them are morons, all preaching the gospel of Donald Trump, that this is a witch hunt, and this is how autocracy starts, and this is how tyranny starts when you go after somebody like Donald Trump. That's their pitch. And the meeting lasted a couple of hours, that we know. I would like to have been a fly on the wall at the very end of it. Honestly, God, I would like to be there. When Jack Smith looked at them and said, you know, I appreciate everything you've been saying, and we will take everything you've said into consideration. And we will have some, we will contact you when we have something to tell you. We'll be making some final decisions within the next week or two. But let me make a suggestion to you that you should start preparing your client. What does that mean? Start preparing him for an indictment. Start preparing him for his surrender. Start preparing him for the restrictions that a federal judge is going to place on him. Start preparing him for the idea that he very well may go to prison. You need to start preparing your client because there will be no plea offer that does not include him going to prison. That's how it ended. And how do I know? Because when defense attorneys meet with prosecutors and they have a good talk and they think that they succeeded, they'll come out and say, we had very fruitful talks with the prosecutors. They were very polite and listened to what we had to say and responded, and we think some progress has been made. With smiles on their faces, these four people looked at each other like, who's going to tell Donald? They're looking down at their phones. They're not even talking to each other. There isn't a smile to be heard. And when asked by the press, how did it go, they got no comment. And within minutes of the meeting ending, Donald puts out an all-caps tweet, by the way. I call it a tweet. It's Truth Social. To me, Truth and Donald Trump are oxymorons. But he puts out this thing and says, how can they indict me? I've done nothing wrong. Does it sound like he was told he's going to get indicted? There is utter and complete panic at Mar-a-Lago right now. Utter and complete panic. Everything is out of control. Donald has dodged the bullet his entire adult life. And now the bullet's right near his skull, and he can't dodge anymore. The only issue is, what's the venue going to be? And how many counts are there going to be? And I think it's not going to be a talking indictment. I think it's going to be a simple, straightforward indictment. I just don't think that it's going to be one of these long, drawn-out, 100-page indictments. I don't think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see just enough information to sustain the indictment. That's all you're going to see. And everybody's debating because the Florida federal grand jury is hearing things. The Florida federal grand jury is hearing cases against people that the government wants to flip against Donald and think that they're going to. But Donald is going to trial in Washington. Everybody debates, well, where was the crime? All the stuff was on the floor. No, the crime started when the boxes left the White House. Boxes he helped fill with documents and had transported to himself down in Florida. The crime started in Washington. Thus, Washington is an appropriate venue. He's going to trial in Washington. I don't think that's even open to debate. But I wish I'd been there yesterday. I really wanted to be there because Jack Smith has made up his mind. He is going to indict Donald Trump, and I think it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. Prepare your client. I guarantee those words came out of his mouth. You need to prepare your client. I have literally no doubt. What do you think about all that, Brendan?
Yeah, so what do you think about Andrew Weissman? Did you see his tweet yesterday?
I did not see the tweet. I heard people commenting on the tweet.
Yeah, he was...
I'm not on Twitter, so I didn't... I don't know what it said.
Well, I only... Yeah, I'm not either, but I saw it reported. He tweeted it out based on his experience. Of course, we're talking about the former Department of Justice official and somebody who was a heavy hitter on the Mueller team. Well-known prosecutor, extremely well-respected. And he tweeted yesterday, we learned a few things today. He said, here's what's going to happen. Donald Trump is going to be indicted. He'll be indicted in the District of Columbia, and it will be this week. So he actually said
I heard him say that. I did not see the tweet. He was on whose show on MSNBC?
Nicole Wallace.
But he was on at 8 o'clock. He was on all day. I mean, was on all frigging day. Okay, this guy's become like a superstar.
Right.
But he he was on yesterday and last night, and I want to believe that he it wasn't what's her name with the short hair. I can't think of her name. Rachel Maddow. It was the 8 o'clock hour. He was on, and he said exactly that. So if that's what his tweet mm-hmm. said, he said that on air yesterday.
Right.
Okay. He said that last night on air. So.
Right.
So it's going to be, going to be really interesting. But if nothing else, he is making a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
Okay. He's writing a book about all of this. Okay.
Yeah.
He calls it Federal Indictment Watch episode of his podcast is today. Okay.
Oh,
have you listened to Prosecuting Donald Trump yet? Okay. That's the name of his podcast. Prosecuting Donald Trump. Okay.
Good for him.
I mean, this guy is all over this, like white on rice. I mean,
like
a wet T-shirt on a Playboy bunny. I mean, I'm looking. By the way, I'm looking at. He tweeted the picture of the four lawyers that were sent into the Justice Department. Okay, and trustees walking out with these three other people who probably have absolutely no credentials at all, other than they have a law degree and they've been admitted to a bar. And I know this sounds sexist, but the woman that was hired for this team was hired because she looks good in a red pantsuit and she's got long blonde hair and she's attractive. So, okay, because she's the one that keeps, tyranny is coming. Okay, this is how tyranny begins. And I'm going, okay, I don't know anybody by the name of tyranny. When is she going to be here? So it literally, yeah, and I love the way that, and I'm looking at Weissman's Twitter page right now, and then all of his, and he's just like, he shows himself on Nicole Wallace and every other television show he's on.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is everywhere. He's like Santa Claus. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. But he's a bright guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's brighter than Neil Katyal, and I think he's much brighter than Dan Goldman. Okay, who's now in Congress. Okay.
Yeah.
He's the man. Okay. He really is. I think he'd volunteer to be part of the team. I think he really would. I think he'd love to be on the prosecution team. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
he's very
mm-hmm.
cool. But, he was saying the same thing about the meeting. He said, this is when you start saying, time to sit down with your client, read him the facts of life.
Yeah. And imminently.
I really mean that. I just, So I don't know what more to say about Donald other than I'm praying that this guy being indicted and just standing up there like every other criminal will break the fever.
Mm-hmm.
You can only sit there and hope that this breaks the fever. Yes, there's 25% of the American public who are so mesmerized with this guy that they will believe anything except that Donald Trump does something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I may be wrong, but I kind of feel that way.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. But I'm looking at these people walking out the door. There's not a smile on anyone's face. They're all looking at each other like, you tell Donald.
Right.
Okay.
And apparently somebody did.
Yeah.
Somebody did, because you're right. 15 minutes later, he had a meltdown. So.
And apparently there's something wrong with his phone. Because the caps lock is stuck. Okay.
Yeah.
Everything's coming out in all caps. So obviously his phone is broken. Maybe his phone got caught in the flood of the water that came out of the pool.
Yeah, I want to talk about
that story?
Yeah. But first, about the phone. Yeah, but about the phone too. Notice he said that no other presidents have ever been prosecuted for this. P-R-E-S-I-D-E-N-T apostrophe S. So you know he wrote it himself. Right. And he was in a rage.
Oh, by the way, I have something I'm going to buy you. It's a new coffee cup. It's orange, and it has a black, kind of a black and white, but it's actually orange, where the white would be picture of Donald Trump from the shoulders up with lines behind him, like, you know, you see when you get people get booked, but so you can see how tall they are. And underneath it says indicted. I have to find that coffee cup. I swear to God, I have to find that coffee cup. I'm going to put it right next to the coffee cup I have. The best, what was it? Nothing says loving like maggoteers in your cup or something like that. Nothing wakes you up like maggoteers. I have one of those cups. Okay.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you. I mean, you know, I just, you know, if you want the history of all of this, oh, by the way, Andrew Weissman actually has advertising on his tweets, on his Twitter page,
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What was it? Some, you know, kind of sandals. Okay. I don't know. Guy's making a pile of dough. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's just making an unbelievable pile of dough, but he deserves it.
Yeah, good for him.
He really does.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I want glasses like his. I want a head of hair like his is what I really want. Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right, so go on to your next. I'm sorry, I interrupted. You wanted to
talk let's talk about the failed attempt to flood out the server that has the surveillance video in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, right.
I read that story yesterday.
Who drains the pool where it ends up inside the house? Okay.
Right. But not only inside the house, but inside the house with the most with the most delicate technology anywhere in the building. And that reminds me, when you hear intelligence people talk about stuff like this, they say a coincidence takes a lot of work. Right. You know, there's.
I like that one. That's good. I'm going to remember that one.
Yeah, that is good. And there's one in particular, one former intelligence officer, that's his favorite saying. Obviously the point being there are no coincidences, right? And when it comes to espionage and all this kind of stuff. But what an absolutely clumsy attempt. And apparently, yeah, the DOJ has been looking at it. The FBI has been looking at it. So for anybody who hasn't heard the story, somebody at Mar-a-Lago claims to have been draining the pool for whatever reason. And in the process of draining the pool, somehow flooded the area in Mar-a-Lago that houses the servers that in turn house all of the surveillance video that the FBI has been wanting. I'm sure, much to Trump's consternation, the attempt apparently failed because the FBI got all the information and all the surveillance video it wanted, despite this, as I say, rather clumsy attempt. I'm going to assume that was intentional because I have no idea how something that stupid could happen without somebody trying. There are some things, you ever have that sensation, right, where you say, look, That's so stupid. So somebody has to be trying to do that. I mean, you can't get that careless without actually trying to cause this result. So he also now has lost his ability to say that he didn't, you know, that he didn't know what classified information was, that he didn't understand that he was not allowed to disseminate classified information because he was caught on tape. Whether he was flashing or holding or rattling around fake documents or real documents, the words that came out of his mouth were, "This is classified, so I can't show you." I wish I could. So that's also come out since the last time we were on here. And boy, what a hole that punches in his defense, that he just thought that everything that he had was automatically declassified. Well, apparently that's not what he thought, because it's not what he said. So his only defense to that can be now, well, when I said
I was just
that,
bragging. I was just
yeah,
bragging.
Right. And I was lying too, right? I wasn't telling the truth.
That's
a heck of a defense.
That document.
Right.
These lawyers say they're looking for the document. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He probably burnt it. As soon as he realized that he made a mistake, he probably burnt the document. I'm still convinced, by the way, and not a lot of people are, but I am firmly convinced that there is a motive that has been unspoken of, other than by him, and just this weekend by Chuck Todd. And that is that the real thing here was given away in the interview with David Weir or from NBC. And what it really is that he saw a way of making money. He saw that, that Nixon got paid $6 or $8 million for his papers. The problem is there was no Presidential Records Act when Richard Nixon left office. It is because of Richard Nixon that there's a Presidential Records Act. He wants money. He wanted to be paid. One way or the other, someone was going to pay him for those documents. And if it wasn't the federal government, I'm firmly convinced it would have been somebody else who had an interest in knowing what those documents said. I'm thoroughly convinced of that. That it was about money. Everything's about money with these guys. And the negotiations, despite what trustee says, how do you negotiate? Either the documents belong to the government or they don't, and we know that they absolutely 100% belong to the government, and the government has a choice of saying we don't want them or we want them, but the bottom line was you don't negotiate. What are you negotiating? You stole something. But I'll give you some of it back if you don't charge me. The Russians stole Crimea. But we're just going to take it anyway. We're not giving it back. That's our negotiation, is that you just accept it. Who negotiates when you steal things? When you know you can't have them, and you take them anyway. I don't want to hear this "we were negotiating" crap anymore. If they were negotiating, he wanted to get down eventually in the negotiations to dollars and cents. How many tens of millions of dollars are you going to pay me for these documents? Top secret documents. You got to buy them back. I don't get to keep them. Otherwise, I do keep them. Am I missing something here? And Donald said it himself. I didn't do anything wrong. Hell, he says, they paid $6 or $8 million to Nixon for his. Why can't I keep mine until you pay me? Am I missing something?
I just have to shake my head about what an incorrigible child this person is. It's just unbelievable that this person ever ascended to the presidency. What an absolute embarrassment.
I think personally that he is a perfect example of spare the rod, spoil the child. Okay. This is a child who probably deserved to have his father beat the crap out of him. I mean, that sounds terrible, I know. Don't call in and say I'm in favor of child abuse, okay? But seriously, and then to call him a loser all the time so that he wants to prove that he's a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And he took what would have been the greatest win of all time to become president of the United States and turned it into a loser. This is like the guy who gets dealt two face cards against a five showing from the dealer and splits the face cards and takes a 95% winner and turns it into two losers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect example. You took a winner and you turned it into two losers. Somewhere along the line, you know, and I think he's panicking because he knows he's going to go to jail. You know what? What he needs to do is see the story of John Gotti and watch the real films and show that John Gotti did not cry when he was sentenced to prison for the rest of his life. John Gotti took an arrogant attitude towards everything that was happening. When Sammy the Bull took the stand and said, I killed 29 people for this guy, he just sat there. Donald Trump can't do that. He's like a little boy. Who did this? I didn't know. She lives down the street, Ida. You know Ida who lives down the street? Her last name is No. Ida No. Or not me. Somebody else did it. My kids were more honest about the things that they did than Donald Trump is. It's perfect. It was a perfect call. It was a perfect call. I did nothing wrong except for try to hold up the president of Ukraine and try to hardball and get somebody else to change the votes in Georgia. But other than that, it was a perfect call.
Right.
I don't know. Oh, by the way, the site that you want to go to get that mug I was talking about, let me get back to the name of the site. It's maddogpack.com. Picture of a bulldog.
Mad dog,
okay.
What?
Mad, M-A-D, D-O-J, dot, or pack, P-A-C, dot com. Maddogpack.com. And it's interesting because they've got signs that they want to put up, like they got a picture of Ted Cruz in a Russian uniform that says Kremlin Cruz. Then there's another one that says, a picture of an elephant inside the, the political elephant for the Republican Party, inside a map of the state of Texas that says, let's talk about the elephant in the womb.
Okay.
Another one with a caricature of McCarthy that says, McCoward, McCult, McCarthy. And another one that says, Matt Gaetz wants to date your child.
Oh God!
Okay, it's a great site. You got it. I don't really push sites, but this is really great. Okay, there's another site that you can go to find all this stuff is bit.ly/roomraidershop. Okay, where you can shop all their merchandise. This is funny stuff. I am actually endorsing this site. For all of you, go look at it, okay? Okay. Let's see. The Supreme Court has danced around and decided almost nothing. I got a feeling what they're going to do is they're going to – all of the opinions that they didn't want to publish, that they didn't want to put up with the flack, the end of the term is June 30th, right? Usually it's June 30th.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that there is going to be a whole volume of Supreme Court Reporter published in one day, thinking if we hide the really bad stuff in all the other stuff, no one will notice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I think we're going to get inundated on the last day with opinions that are just going to knock our socks off.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, and I could be wrong. God knows it's happened, you know, on very rare occasions, but it does happen. So, so I was wrong once. I thought I was. I thought I made a mistake once, but I was wrong. Okay.
Oh God.
So, if you think I'm wrong, tell me. But we're already into this in the first week of June, and they have put out literally nothing.
No, it's all drips and drabs of minor stuff, and
34 opinions. That's all they put out so far. 34.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important ones were the ones where they were attacking the administrative state.
Right.
Other than that, nothing of any significance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to go back and read them and find the little breadcrumbs that are there somewhere.
No, I think the big ones are coming.
They're coming, and I think they're going to come all at the same time.
Yeah.
And then they're going to say, see you in September.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See you when the summer's through. Okay. You know, that's a song, for those of you who didn't know. That was a song from the 50s and 60s. I just think that that's what's going to happen. Because they're certainly not forthcoming at this point.
Right.
And I think there is more dispute, there could be, I see the possibility, that there is more dispute going on inside this court than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are going to be numbers of plurality opinions where they just can't agree on anything. Just what the judgment is, but not the reason. And that's a win, by the way, for the liberals. I think there's so much distrust in that court. I think even among the so-called Big Five, because I don't put Roberts in there with them, but the Big Five, I think there's distrust among them. I think nobody believes Alito when he says somebody else did it. He did it. Nobody wants to be associated with Clarence because he's corrupt. And Gorsuch is bound and determined to destroy any semblance of stare decisis. And Coney Barrett has already accomplished what she was sent there for. Nobody knows where she's at on other stuff. And once she gets her legs underneath her, God knows what she's going to do. I just don't think they trust each other. Could be wrong. I could be, you know, living in a dream world. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you two cases. I can tell you two things that are going to happen. And they'll have either five or six majorities. One is that they're going to put an end to public affirmative action programs. I can guarantee you that that's what they're going to do. They're going to hold that affirmative action programs constitute race discrimination in violation of the Equal Protection Clause. So public universities and public entities will no longer be allowed to have any kind of race or ethnicity-based affirmative action programs, no matter how carefully tailored they are. And how limited they are. Now, that's one thing that's going to happen.
Let me ask
you
a question. Do you think that is that they are required to have it, or that if they don't have one, they can't be held responsible to have one, as opposed to corporations who see that as a public duty?
Private parties can keep on having them. It's
right.
Going to be state universities and cities and counties, public schools, right, things like that. Since they're state actors, the court's going to hold that they are not allowed to have affirmative action programs. That's been something that the conservatives have been aiming for a long time, and they're finally going to get it. There's no reason the court would have granted cert in that case, unless that's what they were going to say. And so that's one that's going to come down. Yeah. The other one I mentioned earlier, they're going to greenlight private discrimination against LGBTQ individuals based on religious grounds. They're going to say that forcing, you know, because there's a case out of Colorado. Colorado has a public accommodations law that simply says if you're going to do business in the state, you're not going to discriminate against people on the basis of sexual orientation, period. The Supreme Court is now going to say that the state of Colorado could not bar a discrimination against gays because that violates the religious freedom of bigots. So as long as their bigotry is based in religion, they're good to go. They don't need to serve gay people. So those two results, I don't know where they're going to go on other topics, but on those two, I would bet a large sum of money if I was a betting person, which I'm not, by the way. But but that's those two outcomes are preordained. The rest of it, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. And we're 1 minute past.
You know, really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. And you have to prepare for your meeting.
I do.
Meeting.
Right.
Is it going to be a long meeting, by the way?
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll
you know
see
how
that's
it goes.
Ominous. Thanks for the ominous answer. Thank you. Is it going to rain? Well, we'll see. Okay.
Right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It makes me look forward to things. Okay.
Right.
Desi, are you still with us?
Still here.
Still here. Are you okay?
Absolutely.
Everything okay?
Really in perfect shape. Stay well.
Just checking up
with you next week.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Bye,
Desi. Take care of yourself. Okay? And
you
we'll
too.
Be in touch, all right?
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Take
all
care,
right.
my friend.
You will.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, here we are. Okay. So we have a little bit of time. Let me see if I can raise something up for you, which you may find interesting. And then probably just sign off right after that. Bear with me a second. See if I can find this. A moment. Where is it here? Let me just quickly see if I have this. One moment. All right, let me just quickly see. I'm not sure if I can find it or not. We'll see in a moment if I can or cannot. I guess I don't know where I am, so we'll find out pretty soon if I have it. To see if I have it here. Unbelievable. Okay, it looks like I don't know where I placed this this one article. I'm not quite sure where it is. Okay, evidently not. Okay, so that's the story. Got evidently nothing here. No, just don't have it. Anyway, so that's the story. Take care. We'll speak to you soon. All the best. Goodbye.